Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
I apologize to anybody that was upset about spoilers when we were talking about the Aaron Hernandez
documentary. I think a tease beforehand, and then the fact that you can tell we're talking about it at the very beginning of the segment is kind of, isn't that kind of warning enough?
I would say this too.
Am I going to be the bad guy here?
And maybe I'm out of line here. I would invite feedback. With a documentary, I feel like everything in that documentary had already been documented. It's just consolidating all of it and throwing it out in one chunk.
There's no plot twist.
It's like if you watch the movie Titanic and I tell you that the boat sinks at the end, if I've given you a spoiler, I don't think so.
Right.
I think like there's still, if anything, with a documentary, if I hear people talk about various aspects of a documentary, I'm more likely to go watch it. Yeah. I'm not thinking about spoilers because I know ultimately, Aaron Hernandez hangs himself in his prison cell.
Yeah, this just in.
Spoiler alert.
This just in. Yeah. There's not this swerve at the end where it turns out Aaron Hernandez is alive.
Now, the one I would throw a wrinkle into that. I don't even want to mention the name of the movie right now. There is a very good movie that's based loosely on historical events, and the twist at the end basically is that one of the huge events never happened.
Mm.
So that would be a weird one where I veered away from talking about that movie at all.
Okay.
But it's an awesome ending.
Yeah. Text message. Not long ago, we were talking about the golden age of Houston sports. Jeez. No, that was Seth Payne who was talking about that.
Hey, I'm not. For some reason, I said in 2015 that Houston was a franchise quarterback away from being at the beginning of a golden age of sports.
I just wanted to give you a chance to clarify.
Yeah, we came close, right? We came super close. I would define a golden age as if two of the major teams won a championship
within a certain window of time,
and where all the other teams were generally in the playoffs or competing every single year. The second part of that we've had since 2017, really. Yeah. Since 2017, all three teams have been in the playoffs. All teams, one team has won a championship. If for some reason, if somehow the Rockets or the Texans won a championship within the next 2 years, I would point out, I would say 2016 through 2021 as being a golden age in Houston sports. So we're not there yet. We're so potential. Now, we're in a lull right now. If you're some clown that thinks, oh, because we're in a rough patch right now, because the Rockets have had some ugly losses, because the Astros got a slap on the wrist, because the Texans, all right, we could write a bunch of paragraphs about that. If you think that all of a sudden now we're one of the dregs of society or something, you can honestly go screw yourself. We are still very much in a salvageable portion of a potential golden age of Houston sports. We just need to right the ship a little bit on a couple of things. And the Astros, by the way, are the second favorite team to win the World Series this year.
That's right.
The Astros are doing just fine, buddy.
You want me to make you feel even better about the Astros, Seth?
Yeah.
They're naming the Hall of Fame class for 2020 today. We'll get to that in just a second. But there's an article on MLB.com by Mike Petriello where he lists all of the players that are playing right now who are going to be who have a chance to be in the Hall of Fame someday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are all the players that are currently playing, and he kind of puts them into tiers, right? Like the very tippy top. Like he calls the very first tier is the Mike Trout zone.
Right.
Mike Trout's number one. He's in a tier by himself. He's like J.J. Watt was a couple of years ago. He could retire right now. Mike Trout's a Hall of Famer, which is crazy because he's played in like three playoff games his entire career. Then there's the next tier, the no doubt about it. And that's Albert Pujols, number two. Oh, look. And they're rating them by put them in order in these tiers of wins above replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, behind Trout, Albert Pujols. Oh, look who's number three. Justin Verlander.
Uh-huh.
I believe last I checked, he's the ace pitcher for who? The Houston Astros.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and nobody would expect him to have been touched by this because it didn't involve pitchers, obviously.
Right. No, I'm not worried. This has nothing to do with the sign stealing. But you're talking about feeling good about the Astros.
Recognizing where you are right now.
Trying to get us out of this funk as a city where everybody's feeling bad right now.
Yeah,
and remind people,
we've
got good teams.
If you fall in times of hardship, how weak is your strength?
Yeah.
Or whatever that quote is.
So future Hall of Famers in this article, that's one. So you get through that, no doubt about it. There's five of them on that tier. Pujols, Verlander, Cabrera, Kershaw, Scherzer. You get to the next tier, the 30 and over players with strong cases. Oh, look who's first in that tier. Zach Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
He's the number two pitcher for who? Oh, the Houston Astros. That's right. Cano, Votto, Molina, Posey, Sale, Giancarlo, Goldschmidt, Freeman,
yeah,
Chapman,
this is,
Kimbrel.
And this is what's gonna torment the rest of Major League Baseball all this year, and it's gonna be fun to watch.
Right.
Is that the Astros are still gonna be really good.
Yeah.
It's gonna drive people insane.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, learn to embrace it. They will be absolutely livid.
Yes.
When the Astros come to your town and win a series, you're not gonna be able to the poor talk radio hosts are going to have to be turning people away at the gates because people will be so livid that the non-cheating Astros beat their team.
Embrace your inner sign stealer, people.
Yes.
Embrace your inner orange. Okay, so that's two in this article.
I'm going to go to every game. You know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to go sit in the outfield. I'm going to travel the games and sit in the outfield with binoculars.
Let's do
that. Like huge, like big-ass, like $2,000 binoculars.
We should make some road trips this summer. Next tier, 30 and under players on the right track. Oh, let's see here. Who's 1-2? Oh, look who's third down in that tier. Jose Altuve.
Mm-hmm.
Look who's a few more players down on this tier. Alex Bregman.
Right.
Hmm.
This is four players. This is what's going to really drive people insane, I don't know, 20 years from now, I suppose, is that Altuve, this is going to be a blip on the radar with Altuve. And I think there probably will be some voters who don't vote for him because of this. But I think that the big difference is going to be, for one, Altuve's stretch where it's documented that he may have cheated is going to be 2017 and part of 2018. You take that out of his stat line and he's still a Hall of Fame caliber player as long as he keeps playing a few more years. So I think for the most part, after people have some perspective and history behind this, it's going to fall into a category of an egregious example of guys pushing the limits the way they always have with cheating in baseball. And just like we fondly look on Gaylord Perry and whatnot, it's not going to be quite that. It's going to be because this involved technology and because it was a coordinated effort. But it's just not going to have the same stigma attached to it that the steroid era did, I think, when it comes to Hall of Fame voting.
I don't think so either when it comes to Hall of Fame. I think you're right about that. Let me add one more name. Guess who gets mentioned in the 2 years or less young field? Astros.
2 years or less?
2 years or less.
Oh, Jordan?
Yeah. Not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but a guy who's
How many DHs are in the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question.
Edgar
Martinez just went in last year.
Yeah.
So that broke the seal. I think Big Poppy's going to go in.
Right.
He'll be largely a DH for most of his career.
He's going to have to be an astoundingly good DH, which he obviously has the ability to do. And he didn't benefit for the tub thumping.
How psyched are you for a full year of Yordan Alvarez?
Going against
regular season pitching.
And the best thing, too, about Yordan, there's a one silver lining of going to the World Series but losing it, was that Yordan got to get himself out of that funk.
Yep.
Like I was worried if they'd never gone to the World Series, I was worried about how Yordan would enter next year's postseason.
ALCS was the last thing we saw.
Right, yeah. Right. If like, oh wow, he completely fell apart in the playoffs, and is this going to be some kind of psychological block? He got over that hump, whatever it was.
Yep.
So that's maybe the best thing that came of the World Series.
Do you think Yordan can hit 50 home runs this year?
Yes.
Yeah. He had 50 last
year. What the over under is on him?
My guess is it's a lot less than 50. That'd be a good one. Over under Yordan Alvarez home runs. It's not going to be 50. No one's going to put 50 as a number out there for a guy, and you know, unless it was 1998 and it was Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire. I would say an over under for Yordan Alvarez. He had 27 with the big club last year, and he came up in June. I would say somewhere in the low 30s would probably be the over-under, because you got to factor in injury. You got to factor in there may be some National League ballparks he doesn't play in. That's only a handful of games. But nobody's going to put a number. I mean, if they put a number out there in the mid-40s, I'll fire on the under just based on the fact that he could have a sophomore slump. So I tell you this, Houston, you have five players listed on this future Hall of Famers article. It doesn't even include names like George Springer, who's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but who's a heart and soul guy in this team. Carlos Correa could have a big comeback year this year. Lance McCullers is finally healthy. Times are good. Times are good for the Houston Astros. Last one here, Seth. Do you think that today is the day that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens get into the Hall of Fame?
Uh, No, they weren't on a trajectory to where
they. They took a little uptick last year. Not as big an uptick as I think some people thought they needed.
Yeah, yeah.
59.5% for Clemens. You need 75% to get it. 59.5% for Clemens last year. 59.1% for Bonds. So they're about identical. Mm-hmm. I think they take another bump up this year. They've got three more chances to get in.
Yeah. I'm still, you know what I'm still reeling from is the Berkman being permanently removed from it. In such
yes.
A, such a, like a, what is that? Just a, it was almost without any like warning or fanfare or sudden, all of a sudden that he just got, he's completely out of the
didn't get
the
enough votes to stay on the ballot. That's, and I got to go compare the numbers. Well, like Edgar Martinez got in eventually.
The real shame about that too is that Berkman is one of the guys that's almost universally acknowledged as like, oh yeah, he definitely didn't do steroids, right?
He was chunky.
He's like other people have said like, oh yeah, he was like, yeah, he 100% didn't do it. Like it's not even in the conversation,
right? He ate Twinkies when they landed next to him in the outfield.
His reward for that is like, no, we're not even going to talk about you.
Yeah, he gets like 2% of the vote. What is, I'm looking at the vote from last year, Lance Berkman. Got, Lance Berkman got 1.2% of the vote. How do you operate in an ecosystem where Edgar Martinez gets in with 70-something percent of the vote, 85% of the vote? How do you operate in an ecosystem where Edgar Martinez gets 85% of the vote and Lance Berkman gets 1.2%? I'm not saying he's as good as Edgar Martinez. I'm not saying he's not, though.
Yeah.
But for it to be like, for the same group of voters to go, yeah, for sure, Edgar Martinez. And then like, nah, sorry, Lance Berkman. Sorry, Michael Young deserves more votes than you do. Sorry, Lance Berkman. Like 1.2% of the vote? That's crazy to me.
In terms of my plan of going to visiting ballparks with a pair of $2,000 binoculars, other people are saying that I should also have a notepad and that I should just randomly yell out various pitches. It's like, slider! Curveball! Yes. And then John Boy will put it together, you know, and he'll cherry pick the ones where I was actually
correct. Of course,
yeah.
Of course. Listen to this. Listen to this. All right.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.